pleasure to be speaking with Julia Kassmeyer, a research associate from the UK Data Services Training and User Support Team today, to talk about reproducibility. Julia, I wanted to start off today by telling us about what reproducibility means.
Sure, thanks so much. Yeah, reproducibility is a key part of the scientific process. It's where you make your investigations and studies and observations clear so that someone else might be able to do the same investigations or studies or observations approximately. We'll never be exactly the same. But especially in the modern era where we're using a lot of computer simulations and, lots of very detailed data sources, it's really important to be clear about the steps that you've taken to manipulate your data or create your visualizations, and really clear about what decisions you've made in choosing your data or rejecting some outliers, for example. All of these things, we just need to be very clear about what's happened and why, so that someone else can find out the same answers that we did.
Excellent. And can you provide some good examples of reproducibility in the past and how it worked?
Yeah, okay. Well, I tell you what, I'll start out with something called the reproducibility crisis, which is actually a failure of reproducibility. And it turned out that in several fields, so everything from psychology and chemistry and health and medicine, it turns out that all kinds of very important studies, people had tried to reproduce them and were unable to get the same results. So it led to a real crisis. People thought, well, we just don't know what to trust anymore. How do we move forward with science if we have to redo all of the steps that we think are building blocks that we can use? But that has led to a much clearer example of how to do reproducibility well. So one example is I recently published a paper in which I created Jupyter Notebooks, which are online interactive sort of code platforms, in which I loaded my data and I showed every single step of the analysis that I ran, including how to get the visualizations that I included in my published article, so that anyone could look completely at any step of the process from the original data to what transformations I made and see exactly what I did and run the code for themselves without having to install it. That's the real benefit of a Jupyter notebook. And I think that's the kind of thing I would like to see more people being open to doing.
And can you give examples when you might need to use that method?
Well, any kind of research project that produces maybe a recommendation for policy change or something like that, do we want to change maybe the age of retirement or something like that? We want to do something like that. It's important to be very clear about how we reached that decision, how we came with this recommendation and why we feel that the change is justified. And to be really confident in those decisions, we need to make sure that everyone can have a look at them and just look for maybe logical errors or little faults or problems that might have unfairly influenced the outcome.
Yes, it's a good way to sort of provide an evidence of the need to do something through research, using certain data sets. It's by having that good practice of reproducibility, people can reproduce the kind of outcome again to prove that it's worth doing.
Yeah. I mean, anytime we find something that we think is a problem that needs to be addressed, or maybe a solution to a problem that we all know exists, we just want to make sure that everyone can also come to the same conclusions, and therefore we can really trust the kind of approaches that we're taking. Mm-hmm. This is very important in the social sciences where I do a lot of work, but it's also important in other fields. If you want to recommend one kind of medicine or another to treat a condition, you want to be sure that really it's having the outcomes you expect.
And is this is it practiced a lot at the moment, or do you think there's a need to do it more often? So you think there's a need to sort of train more people to know how to do it?
I think everyone is aware vaguely that they should be doing it. I mean, this is what the methodology section of a research article is usually supposed to be about. But traditionally, people assumed a lot of things about what the readers of their scientific paper might have understood or interpreted or had access to. And I don't think those assumptions are justified anymore, because now science is very global and it's very diverse, and people have very different experiences when they come into a scientific field. They're not all going to read a methodology section the same way. So it's now more important to be as clear as possible with things like shared code, providing your original data sets or your transformed data sets where possible. Also, maybe even just the code behind how you created the visualizations, if you create them in R, for example. So I think increasingly people are becoming more aware. There's also more support. For example, if you submit a paper to Elsevier, they offer you the option to load your data sets, and that they will link them to the published article to make it easy for readers to investigate the claims you find in your research. And I think that's something that didn't used to happen, but does now.
Do you think with new researchers coming into this area, is it something they are aware of the value of, or the techniques to do it right? Or is it something that they could benefit from more learning?
I think there's definitely scope for more learning. I think because the various kinds of benefits are not always transparent to people who are new to working in research or publishing articles or collaborating on teams to accomplish some kind of project. And one of the values of reproducibility is so that other people, other scientists or other researchers elsewhere in the world can understand what you've done. But a less obvious benefit is that you can understand what you've done at some point in the future when you inevitably try and find out what it is. Why did I make this decision? What's going on here? So you're collaborating with people that you might be working on currently, with other people out in the research community who you're not directly collaborating with, but communicating with, and also yourself in the future. And I think people are maybe not aware of the value of that as much as they could be.
I wonder if you could talk us through the key skills or techniques involved with good reproducibility, which you, I believe, taught during your 5-week reproducibility bootcamp recently as well.
Yeah, I split the weeks out into, the first one was about broad concepts and sort of experiences, but then we dove down into things like collaboration and communication, and about how you write down expectations of who does what in a team, and how you reflect on that periodically and check to make sure that it's working properly, that everybody knows who to ask for what kind of help and where to put the resources and things like that. And then there's things like working with data and creating visualizations and publishing. There's all kinds of different skills for each of these. And some of them are quite detailed, things like, maybe if you're going to publish something in an online Jupyter notebook the way I did, here's how to make it interactive so that people don't need to download the software. But then there's also sort of more obvious things like, be accessible through communication channels so that people can ask you questions about your research. I mean, that seems fairly obvious, but the number of people who's don't use their ORCID ID, for example, when they're publishing, and therefore if they move institutions, they're no longer accessible through the same kind of email addresses for corresponding authors.
And how many people did you have attended the bootcamp, and what value did they get out of it?
Yeah, I think we had, I think there was about 20 people signed up, and I'd say most sessions about 16 people attended. So I think that's pretty good, especially in modern climates. Maybe it's quite hard to carve out time to attend every single session, but I thought that was pretty good attendance. And I'd say some of the people were really surprised by how useful it was to talk explicitly about expectations when working in groups. I think a lot of people come into research and they get an experience of working in groups by being thrown into working in groups, but no one ever tells them, actually, here's a good process for working in groups. Here's good questions to ask of the other people in your group to make sure you're all talking about the same thing, that you all share expectations. Or here's a set of tools that might make it easier for you to work in groups and things like that. So they were really surprised at how very practical and useful some of the suggestions were, as well as how challenging some of the concepts were.
How do you think what they learned during the bootcamp will help them in their research in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we talked about that a couple of people decided to really really embraced was trying to capture ideas in different ways. I mean, we're all working in research and education and science, and we're all clever people, and we're perhaps biased to believe that we will remember this brilliant idea at some point in the future. Well, we don't. That is not how human brains are. They're not good at remembering brilliant ideas at some unnamed point in the future. So what you need to get in the habit of is writing things down, capturing those ideas. And so with the group, we talked about different ways, from everything from having a notebook beside your bed to taking random audio messages for yourself on your phone, or to send yourself emails or something like that. Just all the different ways that you can capture ideas quite quickly so that you don't lose those good ideas. I just want to say to also build in time to look through those notes so you can see your ideas a second time and decide, are they actually good? What can I do with them? Where do I move this idea next to make it useful?
So do you think through the process of research, sometimes you get so involved with it that you might come up with a brilliant way of capturing research using multiple sort of techniques and methods, that if you don't capture it at that moment, you might not remember how you did it next time, or might not have your opportunity to do it next time, because it's such a creative and dynamic process that you're in the moment with. At the point where reproducibility is to sort of crystallize that moment and get it, be able to repeat it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, people are really good at thinking creatively and asking interesting questions and noticing interesting patterns, but we're really bad at remembering those creative ideas. So it's something that I think is reassuring to tell people. You're not the only one. Everybody forgets stuff. You're not admitting to being a bad researcher if you find you have to write things down. So in some ways, it's quite a reassuring thing to learn these ideas about reproducibility and tracking ideas and keeping on top of how things are going. Mm. And yeah, I think a lot of people felt freer with that kind of clearly stated feature of how people think. And then they also just felt more open, more to new ideas about, like, oh, think of all the things I might be able to do in the future if I try a new way, a new tool, a new process, if I just buy a new notebook. You know, I think people felt very optimistic about the possibilities, trying new things.
I think because they're all clever people dealing with very complex, fascinating subjects, they almost feel put pressure themselves to remember things. Mm. That they should remember things, when really this is about saying, actually, part of your skill set is to record how you did things, and that's nothing to be ashamed of. You don't have to remember everything.
Yeah, it's a real skill to be able to take good notes, for example, or a real skill to be concise in how you write code. These are skills to learn, as is being really good at recording all the steps you made, at recognizing that you made a decision and recording what decision you made and why. And this is a kind of reflecting on your own thinking that is, we all do to some extent, but not all of us are taught maybe ways to do it more often or more usefully in the work context.
Are there any examples, say, give us a few examples, are there any specific examples of that kind of brilliant kind of moment might have during a research kind of process where you come up with something great that maybe is a visualization graph that no one else has done before? I wonder if you sort of picture in our mind that kind of moment or moments of that need to be reproduced or captured so you can reproduce them.
Yeah, I think we've all done something where we, you know, maybe made a calculation or wrote a good paragraph or had a good conversation with someone, and you thought, this is brilliant. I really want to use this next time I'm in a similar situation. And then if you don't write it down, if you don't capture like how you made this graph or the context in which this conversation is useful elsewhere, you're probably going to, you may remember it, you may misremember it, or you may completely forget it. There's a lot of options. But yeah, I think getting good at being aware of how you think is a key part of reproducibility, because it also means you're aware that other people think differently, and you can sort of communicate differently in the expectation that not everyone thinks the way you do. And but also really good processes for things like backups. You know, where do you store these files? Who has access to these files, and who has permission to change or overwrite these files? Can you do things automatically? Can you, you know, provide a secure copy or a version controlled copy? These are also parts of reproducibility that people often pick up in the course of working, especially working with groups, but that it's often very easy to get into bad habits or into peculiar habits that one group of people uses and another group of people might not. And so you end up being a bit incompatible if you're not aware of the differences, and you don't go through the step of explicitly saying, where will we keep these things? What backup processes will we use? It's really easy to lose valuable information or good paragraphs that way.
So reproducibility is also about the kind of idea of backup and sort of technical good practice to make sure you can access the data and the kind of the story behind it as well, which you might do automatically, but you don't think, I need to make sure I can save that or I can share that with the right people who can provide good feedback on it as well.
Absolutely. It's about good habits and processes for yourself and how you work, but it's also about good tools to use that help make it easy, that take some of the tedious kind of tasks away from you and make them happen automatically so that you can really get on with the sort of creativity and problem solving things that computers can't do, but that people can.